O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So what is your greatest fear? How do you overcome it? What fears do you keep for yourself? What fears do you give to Jesus? So I'm going to tell you the story of a dear friend of mine, Mr. Brunel Colton from New Orleans. As New Orleans commemorates the 15th anniversary of the floodwaters, this is a very special story. You see, I got to know Brunel while I was pastor at Hartzell United Methodist Church in the Lower Ninth Ward. This was a church that took on 26 feet of water at the high water mark within the church. This tiny little church in the Lower Ninth Ward, filled with people who lived at the margins of society, came together on faith and rebuilt their church. Volunteers came from Umpqua and from all over the United States to help them rebuild. They had a great faith to rebuild, but that's not what this story is about. So I became pastor at Hartzell in 2014, 9 years after the flood. The Lower Ninth Ward was still sparsely populated and devastated. On our block, there were only 3 buildings that were left inhabited. The church was one of them. The neighborhood was devastated. Yet, people were coming back to the Lower Ninth Ward, coming back, rebuilding their homes, their shelters. So what is the other essential need for human beings other than shelter? Food. You see, Mr. Brunel had grown up there, and he went from having more than 100 neighbors to having only 3. But those in and around the Lower Ninth Ward, as they were coming back, he soon realized there was no place for them to buy food. He realized people were taking 3 buses and going up to an hour either to go into New Orleans over the bridge or go to Chalmette, the next town over, just to buy a loaf of bread and some milk. So, you see, he knew he had to do something. He knew the people needed food. So Brunel looked at the impossible, a neighborhood devastated, no funds coming in for such things, and he made a leap of faith. This building was at the corner where the church was, just 3 houses down from the church. Brunel saw this building and said, "What a perfect place for a grocery store." So Brunel purchased that building. Looking at the impossible, Brunel felt it was his calling, his work in Jesus, in everything he did and everything he does. Brunel relies on his faith. So Brunel heard Jesus calling, and despite not knowing if this would all work out, Brunel stepped out of the boat. And Brunel transformed this building. And as a result, Brunel transformed the neighborhood. To this day, it is still the only place in the Lower Ninth Ward where you can buy fresh produce and fresh food. During the times of COVID, Brunel has begun to run tabs Unfortunately, a lot of his clientele will not be able to pay their tab, as people at the margins are mostly affected by COVID. So what does Brunel do? He still gets out of the boat. He still dreams big dreams. And today, this is what his grocery store looks like. There's a barber shop and a place to get a hot meal. And they come from all over the Lower Ninth Ward to get their necessities. Yes, Brunel, he's a man of great faith. But one who doesn't know fear? Hardly. Brunel will tell you himself of his fear. Of his fear then, and of his fear now. Yet Brunel still keeps his focus on his vision of Jesus in the world and in the community. And Brunel continuously, every day, every morning I see him on Facebook, steps out of the boat and encourages others to step out with him. He'll often tell reporters, clients, anyone who will listen, that it's not him. He alone is not capable. But he uses what God has given him. And he steps out on faith every day, despite his fear. He claims each day that the floodwaters of Katrina are no match for the bounty and love of God and God's own people. He finds, gathers, he's one of my husband's co-dependents on that dumpster diving. He finds and he gathers and he spends whatever money he has that day to make a better life for those around him. Even in his fear and trembling, he steps out of the boat and others follow. Miracles occur. You may have seen him. If you have Amazon Prime, Alicia Keys featured him as one of the heroes during this crisis. From the small child with his pennies to the President of the United States. Yes, President Obama stopped in for a cold drink one day. Brunel treats everyone equally as a beloved child of God. And I often hear him and his wife and his mother saying gratitude prayers for the people who come in his tiny store. I see them praying for and with their community. And I see a whole city, a nation even, inspired by their faith. Their faith despite their fears. Their faith in action. Knowing that this miracle is not based solely on their abilities. For that would be impossible. But this miracle is based on their faith that others will join them and they will have the strength one more day to carry on, to take the hand of Jesus and let God do the rest. So I ask, when it comes time to hear the voice of Jesus calling to us from across the waters, are we really listening? And is our faith in Jesus? Or perhaps is our faith in our own ability to have faith? The disciples were afraid of the storm. They were afraid of the water, and even more afraid of this figure walking toward them in the midst of the stormy sea. Fear gripped them. Fear of the known force of destruction of the Sea of Galilee, and fear of the unknown figure walking toward them. Is this a ghost? Yes, the disciples knew fear. And we often read this scripture with a little bit of judgment regarding this, if we tell the truth to ourselves, as if fear were a bad thing, an unchristian thought, an emotion to suppress even. I read recently, indeed, fear is the beginning of wisdom. Scripture summarizes the chief cause of sin and crime as being there is no fear of God before their eyes. Think about it. The chief cause of sin is no fear. No fear of God. No fear of the suffering of others. The disciples knew the awesome power of God's own creation, and that they were helpless against the majesty and power of God. And they were afraid. Reverend Ernest Campbell says, "The reason that we seem to lack faith in our time is that we are not doing anything that requires it." Are we so afraid of fear itself that we avoid it at all cost? Or do we at least keep to the fears that we know? Yes, it is very scary to invite a coworker to church. Yes, it's terrifying to go to a third world country on a mission trip, or even to an American inner city neighborhood. Yes, we are afraid. Is that the sin? The fear? Or is fear a God-given emotion reminding us that we are indeed small and helpless without God? Are we so afraid of being called fearful instead of faithful that we never venture to do anything that would cause us fear? Never test our faith against humanity's insurmountable odds? Do we stick to the safe side of the street, knowing our own abilities? Or do we venture where the lost live, going beyond what we know, conquering our fear with our faith in Jesus? It was the fear of those he loved going hungry that compelled Burnell Colton to get out of the boat. When Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, "The only thing to fear is fear itself," he wasn't too far off from this gospel story. For the fear of fear keeps us looking good, but never really taking a risk for God. We put on a brave face, only to mask the fact that we would never challenge ourselves to do anything that could crack that stoic mask. So yes, we must embrace our fear as a God-given emotion that reminds us that without Jesus, we are not capable of the magnitude of the task before us, and that it is despite our fears and doubts that God works in our lives. God calls us to courage. Courage, you see, is not the lack of fear. It is recognizing that we must move forward in the call of Jesus, no matter our fear. Kingdom work is scary stuff. It has to be. It has to take us to the edge of everything we know so that our trust is no longer in ourselves or even in our own ability to have faith. It compels us, requires us to solely and completely trust in Jesus. Yet, while we can embrace our fear, we must never, never let our fear grip us. It has been said that fear is the greatest single motivator to action there is in the human experience. God gave us fear to move us. Yet how often have we been frozen in our fear, like those disciples who stayed in the boat? Just like the disciples, tossed about on the waves. Here is Jesus himself coming toward us, calling us to safety with him. Yet we cling to the perceived safety of what we know. We cower in the boat. And this fear, you know, comes in many guises. It tells us, I know it's a good job opportunity, but I'm just not sure about the commute. Or, I really should talk to my child about certain issues, but well, he hasn't asked anything yet, so I'll wait until the questions come or until it's the right moment. Or perhaps this one often said in churches, that's just not the way we do things around here. Often said with a glance around as fearfully anticipating those changes might upset the boat. Or my favorite, now pastor, I don't mind if we try that. I'm not afraid. But you know, I don't think the others will like it very much. This boat has kept us safe before, we say to ourselves. It's got us to the other side before, so let's just keep bailing. Are we sometimes so busy bailing a sinking boat that we fail to see the rescuer calling us? Are we busy being tossed to and fro because, well, it's the boat and it's the only way we know how to get across? And all the while, Jesus is calling us to not just ride the waves, but to walk with him as he conquers them. William H. Willimon may have put it best in a sermon entitled, How Will You Know If It's Jesus? If Peter had not ventured forth, had not obeyed the call to walk on the water, then Peter would never have had this great opportunity for recognition of Jesus and rescue by Jesus. Willimon continues, I wonder if too many of us are merely splashing about in the safe shallows and therefore have too few opportunities to test and deepen our faith. The story today implies if you want to be close to Jesus, you have to venture forth out into the sea. You have to prove his promises through trusting his promises, through risk and venture. In other words, I think Reverend Willimon is saying, get out of the boat. But can we? Should we get out of the boat without Jesus? Jesus said, it is I. Do not be afraid. Jesus knows our fears. He knows our hearts. And no matter our brave, bailing faces, he knows we are afraid. Afraid of the storm. Afraid of what he might call us out of our own storms to do in service for him and with him. Ever hear, even after hearing his voice, seeing God's grace, we still question. Lord, is it you? Really? You? Then there is one simple word that compels us forward. Jesus says, come. Come. And now we have a choice before us. Continue bailing or step out into the darkness to follow the Master's voice. When I was little, I heard this preached a little differently, as if it was the amount of faith I possessed that determined whether I could walk on the water with Jesus. In other words, it was about me. Yet I don't think it's an accident that this follows several stories about how Jesus can take the smallest things and multiply them in service to God. How one simply has to have the faith of a mustard seed. Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? I don't think it's an admonishment, it's a statement. He's acknowledging Peter doubted. As we go through the next few weeks, deciding, visioning what our purpose is in our own church, we will be filled with doubt and fear. The question will now become, will we stay coward in the boat, or will we rise to walk with Jesus? Can we just have a little faith, just a little, enough faith to step out of the boat when we hear the call of our Savior? And when we falter, and we will, we have enough faith to know that it is Jesus who will catch us. Will we continue to stay safe in our faith in our own abilities and set our vision from fear? Or will we look at the impossible, like my friend Brunel, and declare, of course I can't do this, but Jesus can. And I walk with Jesus. Come, says Jesus. Clifton Kirkpatrick says, it is Jesus who calls us to get into uncharted waters. But when we go in faithfulness, he never abandons us. All we need, Belmont Heights United Methodist Church, friends and family, all we need is the smallest of faith, just enough to get out of the boat and walk with Jesus, trusting it is he who calls us, he who walks with us, he who conquers the waves, and he who will catch us when we start to doubt. What say you, church? Are we ready? Are we ready to get out of this boat together with Jesus? Amen. At this time,